Makes it easier if you're going to share something, and this particular format of ministry that we're doing gives opportunity for you to share something. Yeah, there's places in the front. Thank y'all. Hey, I want to just, you know, sometimes we have friends that are here and they probably know who they are now. And let's see. Well, Patrick Buchanan, so good to see you. He lives in El Paso, Texas. And I see Shirley Annis over there. And Shirley, so good to see you. Shirley and Jim, and y'all still live here in the community, right?
We're getting ready to move to Dallas.
You're going to move to Dallas?
Oh, man.
Well, tell Jim hello for us. And anyway, just so good to see y'all, both of y'all. Appreciate it. Well, this morning, we're going to continue. We were talking last week about a person of influence. And so I want to just see, what a great testimony Allison gave of her trip to Mongolia. But anybody have an opportunity this week and God gave you, you know, either to pray for somebody or to, you know, influence them to be an encouragement? Anybody have a quick testimony? Anna? Stand up.
Okay, so this week I went to see with Nancy and Joey and Matt and Alicia. And we're at the Open Breakfast Cafe brunch in Town Lake for Boardwalk. And I just like kind of zoned out for a little bit, and I felt like God was speaking to me about this lady there. And I felt like I just like saw the word mom over her.
Good, good. That's great. Somebody else? Brenda? Is it Brenda Kidd? Amen. All right. Well, let's get started this morning. As we continue on, I don't think I'm going to finish this today, so we'll see where we get. And appreciate the testimonies from Anna and both from Brenda. And we'll during this time of ministry and teaching, I will give you an opportunity to make some comments and everything. A person of influence. Jesus said to those individuals who became his disciples to come follow me. He didn't say to them, look, I want you to go to this church and I want you to hear this message. He said, come follow me. One of the things that I have that's really been on my heart over the past few years, really, and that is, and I was reminded of it today as Anna and Allison got up, remember back in my, probably as a senior in high school and then into college, I was a part of a church where there were a lot of young adults that were being saved, obviously during the Jesus movement, and very a special time. And so, but I remember being a part of and just sensing, what the Holy Spirit was doing. And we were going out a lot, because that was what was in our heart. And then over the years, I started pastoring, as many of you know, who are, were here in 2002 at 48 years old, moving away really from a full-time job in the marketplace and beginning to pastor and all those. And I realized probably about 2013, I'm doing a lot of maintenance work and I'm doing a lot of good things. And yes, I have this pastoral call in my life. But I realized, God, you've called me to do more than just, what happens at Christ Covenant Church. And remember, many of you know, I preach a lot of messages about getting outside the four walls of the church. And so, the Lord has really put it on my heart, over, especially this year, just as I look at my own personal life, about being a person of influence beyond, what I'm doing right now. And so I'm so grateful. I see the energy and the fire of our young people. And I'm 62 now, but it stirs me again, to see, what God is doing. And listen, while I may not be going to India, I may go in the future, I may not be going to Mongolia. I'm going and living my life. And I believe, what we talked about last week was how important it is to realize that the Great Commission is to be done as we go. I mean, Anna didn't have to go to India, right, to go and pray for that lady that she did. And I love the fact that she took the risk and she said, don't blame it on God. don't blame it on God. And what I love about that is that she's not waiting for some program. She's not waiting for a paid minister, to come and do that. The Holy Spirit put it on her heart to go and to pray for this lady. And listen, God has prepared all of us to be able to do that. I mean, you say, well, Pastor Dennis, does that mean I'm give up my job? No, don't give up your job. Your job takes you into places where people are that aren't coming to church. Right. And so last week we talked about that and we read, let me just read from Matthew 28. I'm gonna have to cut a few things, but that's okay. And we're gonna go as far as we can today, and then we'll finish up next week. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. That's important. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That's talking about when Anna and Allison go to both to India and to Mongolia. Isn't that right? I mean, that the Great Commission is still being fulfilled. And so I want to just I want to cover a few things that we talked on last week. The focus of the Great Commission is on outreach and the discipleship of new believers, our growing believers. Isn't that right? I mean, how many of you are on Facebook? I mean, you're on Facebook a lot. I'm not. But I get the reports from my wife. You know, we're driving in the car. I see her over there. Hey, look at this. Hey, Jim and Shirley are moving to Dallas. Allison is going to Mongolia on a mission trip. But sometimes what you see is we see people and we hear and we maybe we know them and they're believers and they've kind of drifted away from the Lord. You know what I'm saying? And what I'm seeing is there's such a need for believers like us to come alongside them and to reach out to them. Look, sometimes y'all know I have a real passion and burden for marriages. I do. Because, you know, I want to help people that are on the other side of, you know, facing a divorce, you know, and there's a lot of great ministries that reach out to people that go through divorce, but you understand, and I hear these situations and people are blowing apart and so much of it, it all comes back to a personal relationship with the Lord and maybe somebody coming alongside them if they would be willing. You know, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be Jimmy Evans or somebody that does marriage ministry, but just to have a good, healthy marriage and to help them if they would be willing, you know, for you to come alongside them. Many of you have great marriages, don't you? Uh-oh. How many of y'all have great marriages? Okay, do you know what? Then you've been commissioned, and maybe there's a doorway to help some people that are going through things, you know, and just, you know, that'll, you know, some of you have a friend, and all of a sudden, and ladies do this a lot, probably more than men, is they begin to share with you they're going through something that's difficult in their marriage. Yeah. Well, God gave you a relationship with them to help you be a person of influence to help them through this time. And there may be nobody else that's going to go there except for you. And God put it on your heart. And so it's just what happens. It's what Anna experienced. It's all of a sudden you hear it. You know what I'm saying? And my prayer for myself is, God, help me. Give me a new awareness of your Holy Spirit and help me to hear these things. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's not the small voice that we say, okay, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to me. Sometimes we just need to listen to the people that are talking to us.
That's right.
And that's challenging. How many of you do conversation sideswipe? Y'all know what that is? Y'all know what it is? It's like Kato be talking to me and all of a sudden I start up before she finishes. So, okay, how many of y'all do conversation sideswipe? No, I know we're having fun with this, but it really, think about it. When the Holy Spirit speaks, he may be speaking through the person that's talking to you. And so anyway, you know, it's listen, you all, if you've been born again, number one, you have the Holy Spirit. You have God's word. And we talked about this, you know, last week. And so, you know, I think when we look at the Great Commission, we do think about mission trips and we think about, you know, maybe we think about, you know, the you know, programs and those kinds of things or paid staff and all those kinds of things. But look, there wasn't any paid staff. And this mission that Jesus gave is the only mission that he gave to the church. There's no other mission that we've been given except to go and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that brings peace in men's life and to help new believers and believers that are growing.
Right.
Now, when you think about discipling, I want you to think about something because what he's saying is, I mean, you know, I have a great relationship with Scott Lacey, and he and I encourage one another, but I'm not discipling Scott. Scott's a disciple. I mean, he's a mature believer. And so, but there are a lot of believers that are out there. And let me say something else to you. It's not about their age. In other words, how long? Because many people drift away from the Lord, and they're kind of in and out and that kind of thing. So listen, they could be in their 60s and needing somebody like you to come alongside them to help them. Do you believe that?
Yes.
And so, what God has put on my heart is in my own life. In other words, if I'm going to be a good example and lead you, then I've got to do it. And that's why if you look last week when we talked about the message, about the things, the spiritual resources and the promises that God has given to, I said. In other words, I'm starting with me. And when you look at them, it says what? It says, I have, received this. And so, it's just in our week, if we, where we go, and we're just thinking about, the Holy Spirit puts something, then if there's an opportunity to share my faith and what Jesus Christ has done with people, as I just go through my week. And then, who are the people that you have a relationship with that trust you and you can influence for the kingdom of God to help them to grow? So I'm asking you individually, because that's where it starts. But if there are more of us that are doing that, and we're out there and we say, okay, who is that person? Is it my neighbor that I have a relationship with that I can influence for the kingdom of God, that I can help them to grow? Maybe they're young. Maybe they're not a Christian. Maybe they are. But you understand, I mean, God gives us, places. I mean, some people call this fear, but God puts us in those places and he's at work. And we don't have to make anything happen except be prepared with the good news of Jesus Christ and awareness to the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to just, last week we're going to, because I'm going to move on into the things that God has blessed us with. Last week we talked about this, that I've been given God's grace. And we read from Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. And again, I want to just read verse 9 because it says, salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so none of us can boast about it. And I said to you, what a great scripture for people that struggle because they don't come to the Lord, or they struggle in their relationship with the Lord because they think they can't be good enough, or they're trying to do enough good things to earn salvation. And that's not what the Bible says, is it? And we know that when God comes into your heart, he changes you, and he starts on the inside and you change, from the inside out. We also talked about that I've been given the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Wherever you go, you're a witness. Isn't that right? I mean, whether you're at work or whether you're in your neighborhood or wherever it is, because the Holy Spirit resides in us. And he goes on to say that, telling people about him everywhere. And so this morning, we're going to come to number 3. And it says this, that I've been given the truth to spiritual freedom. Now, how many of you know that's true, that the truth that God gives us, both in the gospel, and the truth of his word and the Holy Spirit lead people that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to spiritual freedom. And many times, obviously, people are not just immediately set free from things, but there are things that happen. And listen, this is Paul writing 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. He says, we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down, listen, the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. That's both talking about, from coming to salvation and to knowing God and growing in their relationship. And we capture their rebellious thoughts and listen and teach them to obey Christ. That's what Jesus said that we were to do in the Great Commission, to teach people how to obey all the commandments that he had given to us. Now, let me just say something about these three verses that Paul writes. If you studied anything about Paul and Corinth, there were a lot of false teachers. Paul had a lot of enemies. And obviously, as an apostle and preaching the gospel, I mean, the spiritual warfare that he's facing is probably not anything like any of us will experience in our lifetime. But one of the pictures that people understood is when they went to battle, that, you know, many times when an army was coming towards a town or what you might call a fortress, I mean, the people would be behind the fortress, right? Because they thought they would be, they had, you know, protection. There was resistance, obviously, from the invading army, all right? And so they had these, they had weapons. Brenda knows this. We've talked about this. A battering ram. You know, where they're coming in and they, you know, they're hitting the wall to knock down the resistance. They had another thing called a mobile tire, you know, where, you know, they would put that up and they would be able to go up and go over the wall. Okay, so people understood a military picture. And so Paul's talking about that, you know, that kind of warfare. But that's not the kind of warfare that we fight. Because God has given us spiritual weapons, hadn't he? And realize, you know, that every Christian goes through spiritual warfare. If you're a believer here today, you're going to face it. You face it in yourself. Isn't that right? I mean, when you look at the things now, I mean, he goes through those things. And we've taught, you know, now for a while that really what is a stronghold? Everybody know what a stronghold is?
Wrong pattern of thinking.
And so what God calls us to do is to not get, I mean, how many of you, okay, let me give you something that makes some Christians mad, okay? I saw, and I don't remember whether it was on TBN or what one of the channels, or it was on the cable news, but a survey recently showed that concerning young evangelical adults, that 47% of them believe that same-sex marriages are okay. That's a lot, isn't it? The 47%. So some Christians get mad about that when they hear that, right? I mean, they get mad at young adults, whether it's young adults or older adults that are evangelicals, and they're, you know, what's wrong with them? Well, you know, one of the things that Paul did is he had to deal with a lot of false teaching, a lot of deception. And rather than us get angry, what we need to do is to stand on the truth of God's word. And one of the things that we have to do is to give ourselves to live the truth ourselves. Isn't that right?
That's right. That's right.
To live the truth ourselves. And then to be able to confess the truth of God's word. Look, you know, one of the things, I've gone through this a couple of times because I'm speaking when I'm talking about getting upset with people, but I've had a couple of situations, you know, where I'm being very upfront with you. I got upset with people that I care about, but because the truth and trying to get them to listen, you know, and the caution that, you know, that I felt, and just on deaf ears, you know. And so I find myself, I find myself in my human strength wanting to try to, you know, shake them. I wasn't shaking them, but that was my approach. You ever do that? Yeah, we do. And what Paul is saying is, look, there's a wisdom that comes in God's word, that we don't have to try to have an outside force. I don't have to speak, you know, with great authority. I don't have to get mad. You know, I don't have to do all these things, but to live the truth and to speak the truth. Listen, there's a peace in the good news. I think Allison said it a while ago when she talked about the peace that came over some of the people by the message that they shared. That's the message that we have. That's the message that we have received, that we can share the peace. There's good news in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Yes.
There's good news. And allow the Holy Spirit. Look, rather than having an outside force come in, what we have received by receiving the truth is in our hearts, and it comes out. It's godly wisdom, and it has a power of its own. Dennis Jameson doesn't have to emphasize to his daughters what's, you know, by trying to shake them or to try to get them to do something. There's wisdom in the message. There's wisdom in God's word, or whoever it is in those situations that I cared about, when I see people, you know, moving away from things. You know, Facebook is a great thing, but you see it. I mean, we see people that we love. We see relatives, you know, and listen, they're in a warfare. And I'm thinking, who came alongside them to speak a word of peace in the time that they're in? But I have that truth. You have that truth that resides in you. Let me just touch on a few things, okay, here about that, and we're going to finish up. What are the things that resist people? What are the things that resist us? You know, people don't come to know God, one, because of ignorance. I'm not talking about being dumb people, because they just don't know. They don't come to know God because of prejudice, like pride, lust. There's all kinds of things that keep people. And that's why it's important to listen to what's going on in somebody. You know, what is it that is holding them back? And then to be able to speak the truth and to share God's word with them. And that's why I think relationship is so important. And because, look, there are a lot of great churches. We live in the South. We live in Houston, Texas, where there are mega churches and there are great churches. We have great churches in our community. But, you know, there are a lot of people that go to a church and they find it very impersonal. In other words, they'll hear a message and that maybe that's all they're going to hear. They won't have somebody from that church come alongside them to really help them. And that's why it's important that as we're mobilized during the week, that we listen to what people are saying, that we have an awareness of the Holy Spirit. Because look, there's a lot of people out there that need to hear the truth of God's word, but they need to hear it in a one-to-one place. In other words, in a relationship, in a setting that's totally different from maybe just going to church and hearing a message. Because a lot of people don't go to church anymore. All right? I mean, I don't know if you know this, but 4,000 churches a year shut down in the U.S. and only 1,000 churches start. You see what I'm saying? What God is doing is He's mobilizing the church. He's mobilizing the church. And as we go along in time, if there's a greater hostility towards churches than what God will do, and he has done throughout history. Look, the church grew during years of persecution. And I know we don't like to think about that. And I may never really see that, but our kids may. That their gathering may be a place, their gathering may be at the breakfast cafe, may be in a home. But ministry and sharing our faith and helping people to be set free, that could be done anywhere. It doesn't have to be done in here. And so, anyway, we got a couple of minutes. Any thoughts? Anybody hear anything? Anything but, you know? Alfredo?
And when I asked her about him, the mother told me, she went back to Mexico. Okay, when he's coming back? No response. Yeah, about 6 months ago, I texted him back, and he was in town. And I invited him to have lunch, and that was about, I'd say, 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me that he went to a very hard situation, that he needed to go out of Mexico, pretty much hiding. His wife left him, 2 kids, and it was a pretty bad situation. But I started speaking as a friend, as you mentioned, as a relationship had been established. I tried to be there just as a friend.
Right.
Just as a friend, as a man. He told me, Alfredo, every time that I meet with you, I feel peace.
Mm-hmm.
I feel hope.
Right.
And after 3 or 4 weeks being together in a lunch, he accepted the Lord.
That's great.
The other day, just his mother came and have a lunch with him. Well, he's supposed to be 3 of us together, but he wasn't able to come. And her mother and I have opportunity just to talk together. And she mentioned, you are not Catholic, right? Yes, I am Catholic. Yeah, I believe in the Lord, the apostles, I didn't quote it, sugarcoat it. I told her, yes, I'm a Christian.
Hmm.
I followed the Lord. She mentioned, I really appreciate what you're telling to my son every time that he gets together with you. He shares with me. Every time that he gets with you, he comes, Mother, I was with Alfredo, and he told me this, and I shared some scriptures.
Mm.
And he's turning around.
Amen.
He has peace.
Yeah.
His wife is coming together with him, his kids, the mother, the situation, the family is turning around for better.
It's great. Amen. It's great. And, you know, by Alfredo sharing, it's not to try to give credit or honor Alfredo, except that he's been obedient. But it's a great example and encouragement to us. And what you're going to hear from me is to, you know, that when we come together on Sunday, it's like today, I mean, we're celebrating. It was great having Anna and Allison here to celebrate what God's doing and encouraging all of us and giving us opportunity to say, you know, this is what God did during my week to encourage us. Listen, I want us to grow from a standpoint of the expectancy and realizing that many times when we come and we've been a part of a church for a lot of years, the dynamics of ministry in our culture are changing. And the church, we are the church, you know. And so I appreciate you coming and listening. Appreciate you participating. All the testimonies. We're gonna Kathy, you got something? Yeah, come on. Yeah. Yeah.
He was talking about how going to a restaurant was could be a place for testimony, and we've heard a couple of those today. And I just want to encourage everybody to be polite.
Yes.
Because a lot of times, especially on Sunday when we go out, they know this is a Christian group.
Yep. Right.
From church. So be polite and tip well.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, listen, thank you so much. I know Greg and the team will be here. If you need prayer this morning, you know, please come. Invite you. If there's somebody here that doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you know, please, this is a great time to give your heart and life to Him. And we'd be glad to pray with you about that or anything else. So anyway, thank you so much. Thank you for participating. And so anyway, God bless you as you go. Father, just energize us and help us, God. Help us in these places where we're in restaurants and wherever we are, God. Lord, that we would be effective witnesses for the kingdom of God. Thank you for this gathering today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for all of our guests or any of you. Katana will be at the Welcome Center.